Hi, everyone. It's Jen DeWall. And in this week's episode of the Leadership Habit Podcast, I sat down with Susan Ireland to talk all about how to show up as the leader that you want to be. I know that we all had a vision when we started our role of that leader, who we could be in our head. In times of crisis, when things get tough, we'd also be driving strategy and doing everything well. But real talk, at some point, it gets hard to be that leader. And that's why we're having this conversation, to talk about what gets in our way. Let me tell you a little bit more about today's guest. Susan Ireland is an ICF certified professional coach, leader, podcast host, and co-founder of Seasons Leadership. She has over 30 years of experience at the Boeing Company, and she navigated and leveraged the complexities of large global organizations, holding business operations roles such as the Director of Business Operations for the 787-9 and 787-10 developmental programs. Susan also has a tremendous educational background with degrees from the University of Washington, Antioch University, and she is committed to helping you be your best self. So I hope you enjoy our conversation as we talk about how to show up as the leader that you want to be. Welcome, Susan Ireland. I am so excited to have you today. And we are talking about a really important topic. I think we're talking about how you can become the leader that you want to be. And of course, for many of us, we might envision what that looks like when we're starting a new position in our companies or at a new company. And we have these grandiose dreams. But then sometimes things get in our way or things do not become reality. I know that I've experienced that. And so I'm excited to have a more, I guess, thoughtful conversation on the realistic challenges that will come up that prevent us from making those dreams a reality. But welcome to the Leadership Habit. That was my long-winded way of saying I'm so excited for today's topic. How are you doing today, Susan?
Thank you, Jen. It's great to be here. I am doing great.
Fantastic. I want to know, or if you could, our audience has heard a little bit about you, but I would love to share a little bit more. So tell me, what inspired you to create, to start and found Seasons Leadership? What was your thought process there? How do you want to help these leaders?
Well, it's interesting, really. So I worked for the Boeing Company for 30 years. I was an executive focused on business operations on the commercial side. And so when I got a master's in management and I took a class in coaching, and I had never heard of this before. And I thought, well, I'll just take it. And it was really interesting. And it turns out, you know, that I was doing that already at Boeing. But I learned that there's more to it than just what I was doing. And so I got my coaching certificate, and then I decided 10 years later after that, that I would leave Boeing and start my own business. And so I did Susan Ireland Coaching and Consulting. Well, it just turns out that about a year later, I reconnected with Debbie Collard, who also worked at Boeing. She was an executive in business operations, and she also became a coach. And we got together and we're talking and about our experiences at Boeing and what we've learned with coaching and how our separate businesses were doing. And we both got so excited because we really got into the business for similar reasons. It's to help others in their development in leadership. And we want to accelerate that because as we grew through our careers and our progression, it was kind of, we were on our own. You know, Boeing helped us, yes, but we were on our own learning the ropes kind of by trial and error. And we thought, wow, if we would have known then what we know now, you know, how different it might be, or how much more could we have done? And so we both got into the business of that way. And we said, hey, what could we do together? This would be great. We can work together. We enjoyed it while we were at Boeing. And we could really provide people some very impactful lessons and through teaching and coaching. And we just said, well, let's do it. And so we really just kind of jumped off a cliff and did it. And I've been thrilled with it ever since. And I think we've really expanded our reach and our impact. And here we are.
I love it. I love that it's a story of, you know, as it relates to today's topic, becoming the leader that you want to be. It's a story of taking risks, of doing something new, of collaboration, of, I feel like, just going for it, even when it might not be fully fleshed out or known what will happen. But then on the flip side, in terms of how you can actually be that leader, I love that you're able to infuse probably the highs, like, hey, how do you get to the good things? But also, how do you recover from the challenging moments, the adversity that we have to go through? Mm-hmm. Just how hard it can sometimes be to live in alignment with that. So I'm curious, what was behind the name of Seasons Leadership? What? Tell me a little bit more about that.
Sure. Well, actually, it's a book. Oh, I don't have it with me, but it's the book that I read that I was really inspired by Carol Vecchio, and it's called the Time Between Dreams. And it's about the seasons metaphorically that we all go through. And it really touched us both. We both Debbie and I really resonated with it, because you can see it's something that is, we all know about the seasons. And then when you reflect on our lives, or you can see, like, oh, I see where we're at now. So you can think about the season of your entire life. So I am more maybe in my fall season. You're in the spring season, right? Just because of our age. And that's something that it starts to reflect in what you do and what you think about and what's your priorities and where you focus. So maybe in the fall of my life, I am focusing more on maybe teaching what I know and supporting others in their development. And it's very fulfilling for me. I'm not really thinking about reaching the next rung of my career. I'm more interested in making a difference. And not that you aren't interested in making a difference, but you're kind of at the beginning of your career. And so you might be seasons, and you think you're at a point when maybe you're trying new things, and you might have many careers over your life. But it's just a different energy around it, right? You are still growing, developing, achieving things, that kind of thing. So it really is a metaphor that you can use, overall, but then, like, in a specific thing, we have seasons in relationships, and it's just something that it gives us a common language where we can talk through this.
No, and I love that, because so much of life is a season. Nothing is truly, I guess, the only thing constant is change.
It's true.
I think about this, and I'm actually, you know, I'm at 41, so I am 41, so I would consider myself, I think I'm now actually considered middle age. What age is middle age?
No.
But yeah. What age is that? Because I've been in the workforce now for 20 years, but yet I still have these bigger goals. And the older that I get, I feel like my urgency is getting higher, because I'm realizing how quickly these seasons need to go to be able to move, to be that person that I want to be, to make the dreams in reality, because time is going faster than what I realized about 10 years ago. So to talk about this, because if we want to be the leader that we want to be, like, to show up in that, I mean, the only time to do it is now.
It's exactly right. It's exactly right. And I just want to say also, so we've got this big arc of our life, right? And we just talked about that. But we also have smaller arcs. So, like, and they keep going around in a circle. And there's Native American philosophies too about this. When you enter into a cycle, you know, you go through the whole thing. And as a cycle, winter, spring, summer, and fall could be, it could be long, a lifetime, but it also could be maybe a year or maybe a month or whatever it is. So it's going through this, but it's constant change. And so when you talk about like where you are right now, time is going fast. It could be you're in one of these smaller arcs.
Sure.
And you are experiencing maybe summer where, you know, you're riding the wave and everything's going great, but then all of a sudden something changes. Like it could be, you know, it, you could be get laid off.
Sure.
That's not something you are put into immediate fall, right? It's like, oh, things really change. I wasn't expecting that. And you have to adjust. And I think what we're talking about here is recognizing things have changed. Now I need to adjust. And you need to give yourself time to adjust and to accept that reality. I don't know if that is.
Yes. Still a challenging acceptance, because sometimes yes. I don't want to accept that I need to change or that things are different. And I think this is a great jumping off point to then diving into today's conversation on, you know, how to show up as that leader that you want to be, because whether it's a new change in title, responsibility, or maybe just that realization that what I have been doing or how I've been showing up is not serving me, either way, we have this opportunity today in this moment to ask ourselves, how can we be that person we envision in our head? How can we still stay the course? But real talk, as we just talked about, it's hard to stay the course. Life gets in the way. Life just happens. And of course, we end up maybe not being the leader that we want to be, or we're afraid to do it. So let's talk about some of the obstacles that people often face mm-hmm. with, I guess, creating that brand or the dream and making that become a reality.
Right. Well, let me think. So first of all, when you talk about the leader in your head.
Yeah.
I think that it's a really interesting thing, because oftentimes people don't even think about that. They're just reacting or behaving like unconsciously. So it's taking a moment first to think about, who am I? What are my values? How do I want to leave? What lead? What's important to me? In that, having that self-reflection at first, I think is the foundation of everything. Because otherwise you are like groundless.
Sure. You need the foundation.
Yes. Because life in the world is pretty chaotic. And so if you don't have that foundation, you're just flipping from one thing to another thing to another thing. And the people around you don't know who you are or where you, what you stand for. So that's the first thing.
This is your homework to myself, to everyone else. But no, but seriously, to take the time to think and reflect, are we going in the direction that we want to be going? And if not, what do we need to modify or change or, you know, adjust?
Right. So it's not even like it's that. That's the first thing. Like, what is the leader that you? Who is? I'm not saying that right. If you think like, how do I show up as the leader I want to be? Is you need to define who that leader is. Then you have a target. Then you can assess yourself. Like, am I showing up the way I want to be? And if I'm not, where are those gaps, and where do I need to work?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that gives a lot of the insights. I think it, because really, like, the reality is what comes up for people, you know, like I have that dream. I know that I want to do it. And for me, I would say one of the bigger obstacles from doing that is often self-doubt, right? Yeah. Of not believing that I'm worthy of that, not believing that it will actually happen the way that I want it to in my head.
Yes.
So what do you think prevents us from actualizing that vision?
Well, that's what I think. I mean, Sorry, I'm a little bit tripping up on my words here. I think it's fear. It's fear that we're not good enough or somebody else won't think we're good enough. And it's, you know, it's just the fear. It's insecurities and fear. Playing it safe.
But that's the simple way to live life. I mean, what's the cost then in that regard? Like, I guess, how would you create urgency to overcome that fear? Because it's, to me, that it feels so simple to say it's fear, but that doesn't create a simple solution for me either. Like, that makes it still really, okay, yep, I am afraid, but I still have all the anxiety about my fears.
Right. Well, then at least if you're aware, so many people are reacting unconsciously. So if you are, if you want something, if you're clear about who you want to be and what you want to achieve, so you're clear about that. And then you make a plan, I want to do this, but you don't execute that plan for various reasons, mostly because of fear, you can't take that first step. Being aware that where you are gives you choice. So then you have a conscious choice. I can do this or I can not. It's a choice. You're fine either way. You know, you can say, I'm not going to take steps toward my goal. I'm going to stay here because I'm too afraid. But then you kind of have to live with yourself.
Yeah, it's yes, you have to settle with the fact that I may not be living in alignment. Now, I want to take this to a level that might be a little bit deeper, because I think I was even looking at an executive leader, maybe newly promoted to a role, or a first-time leader, newly promoted to a role. Tell me what that experience might be like for them, because I think obviously if I look at any leader that I've ever reported to, none of them wanted to maybe be the not great self. I'm sure they didn't envision that as part of their, this is what I'm going to look like, but then they show up that way. And so what do you think makes it challenging for someone, let's call it, use the example of the executive leader. What do you think makes it challenging for that person to be able to make their choices consistent and actually be that person that they initially wanted to be when they took on that role?
Right. I think a lot of times, and everybody's unique, you know, so this is very generic, but a lot of times people are promoted because they're good at their current job, whatever that is, their role. So they're performing, they're getting a lot of praise for it, and then they get promoted. No matter what it is, if they get promoted, the job is different. So whatever they relied on, skills, how they showed up, is not adequate for this new role. And so it's very unstabilizing, I think. So then what happens a lot of times is people start feeling they feel insecure, and they doubt their ability to really step up. And so then that fear sets in, right? And then like, oh, people are going to find out, the imposter syndrome. They're going to find out I'm not so good. So, and then they don't talk to people, you know, and then they start only talking to themselves and having this negative self-talk. And then it starts to spiral, and then they get under stress, and then they have stress reactions, and then they don't show up right. And then it confirms to themselves that they're not really maybe ready for this position. And it's just really all self negative spiraling talk that's not helpful.
Oh my gosh, it's the loop.
It totally is. Yes.
I have a colleague I know other people call it that, but she reminds me of the loop and how you have to, you know, be really present with your thought processes and be curious to the information that you're starting to validate, and how it can create a cycle of stuckness, if you will, or the struggle.
Yes.
And
you can have a negative loop like that and spiral down.
Yeah.
You can also have a positive one. And that's where you need to focus. And the only way I know how to do it is to reach out and talk to other people. I don't know how to do it by yourself. So either you get trusted colleagues where who maybe are in the same position that you are, that you can talk through some of the challenges that you're having and some of the doubts. You have coaches and mentors and that kind of thing. But to really understand what the requirements of the new position is, so you really have to think about it, and then work on this positive loop. Work it up, and then the more you do it, the more positive feedback you're going to get from people who report to you. You're going to get positive feedback from customers, from other stakeholders, and you'll start feeling better about yourself. You'll start really contributing in new ways, and it'll bring you out of that.
Right. That is one of them. I mean, I think even just talking about the challenges, if you're hearing this and, you know, we're talking about how do you maybe adjust your thinking to a more positive loop that's supportive and growth mindset, for lack of a better maybe description, it's hard. It's hard.
It is.
That doesn't mean it can't be done. It's just understanding that it will not happen overnight. Because it's so much easier to get in and play the like, woe is me card too, of like, or get angry at the world for not giving you what you want or being that. I know that you had mentioned in the pre-call, like something about choices.
Yes.
And tell me a little bit more about what you meant for that in terms of how someone can truly be what they want, like who they want to be. What did you mean by describing it as a choice?
Well, it's how we show up is a choice. We can't blame anybody. So you just mentioned this, you know, like you can't blame the company or the people who report to you or your boss or the economy. How we show up is really a choice. And it starts with that foundation we talked about earlier. What are your values? What are the behaviors that contribute to the kind of person you want to be?
Yeah.
And it's hard. Sometimes it's really hard. You know, these are not easy choices. If they were, I guess we'd all be making these positive choices and we wouldn't even be having this discussion. But in the times of stress and the times of challenge, when you're feeling pressure and from all sides, it's hard to consistently show up the way you want to, because there's risk to it. There's risks that people aren't going to like you. There's risks that it's not going to work.
Yeah. And I think that's the hardest piece. I think we forget that it might not be you as the problem. It's that our brains don't want uncertainty, and risks obviously open the door and invite in uncertainty.
Well, it's here.
Yeah.
Whether we acknowledge it or not, uncertainty is here.
Like that is, I mean, I feel like that's true. Yeah. Like just in that there's always uncertainty, because I think back to Annie Duke, like describing, I think other people have said it like this, that in every decision that we make, there's always the strategy and then there's luck. And in terms of the outcome that you see, it just depends, because that mix is different. Mm-hmm. Maybe luck prevails in that moment. Maybe it's your strategy that prevails. But in truly every decision that you make, those two factors are at play. And so our illusion of control is a little bit lighter or lesser than what I think we realize.
Oh, it's so true. It's so true. But think about the leaders that you admire. I mean, 100% of the people I talk to will say the same things. They all, you know, how they do it is different. Who they are is different. But the ones that we really admire are the people who are authentically themselves. And they, you know what they stand for, and you know that you can count on it. They're consistent. And that's hard. I mean, the reason why we admire them is because we know it's hard.
Yes. Yes. Well, I feel like that's worth expanding on, because I think we know that in today's workplace, authenticity goes such a long way in terms of building trust and connection and great cultures or organizations that people want to work for. But it's hard to show up authentically. Why do you think that? I mean, I guess, is that fear again? Like, is it, you know, I always look at it as like the fear of judgment. Like on the days that my confidence is at an all-time high, I'm not afraid of the judgment. On the days where my confidence, I might be tired, I might have self-doubt, I am terrified of judgment. And I feel like playing it safe is truly the only way. But I also think in some way that was rewarded or embedded in the organizations. And so it's hard to know what is right and what will be received well.
Yeah. Well, and let's be real. People need jobs.
Yeah.
So we learn how to play it safe because we want to have a job.
Yeah.
And the less power we have in an organization, the more safe we're going to play it. I mean, it just is. That's a, you know, and the culture of each company and organization is different. So it's important to really read the room, so to say. So if the advice here is, be authentic and all of that. But in reality, you've got to do what's right for you. And you have to know, what kind of power do you really have? And how bad do you need this job? That kind of thing. And as we gain more power, whether it's position or whatever, we really need to remember. And it's a responsibility as a leader to remember that not everybody has that power. And we need to respect everybody and be compassionate and all of that, because it's complicated.
Yes. I appreciate you sharing that, because I think, especially in, I guess, the land that you and I are both familiar with, there's more within speaking and coaching where sometimes I think there can be this misleading sense of empowerment. Go out and you just tell your job exactly what you demand. Or, oh, it's okay if you just quit your job tomorrow because you can land on your feet. That doesn't account for the reality of I have bills to pay.
Exactly.
And I have children or a partner or someone in my family to take care of. Like, I think it really is important. If we want to be the person we want to be, we still have to acknowledge the challenges that are going to come up for us, which might be the realities of how do we pay our rent? And what level of power do I even have? Because if I don't have the power, then I actually should be really curious about how I am speaking out or whether or not it is time to leave.
Exactly.
That's the problem in being able to share your opinion.
It's true. That's why I really think it's important to understand your current reality and really assess it honestly. Yeah. Because then back to choices, you can make the choice that's right for you. Speak up, be authentic, take risks, or maybe not at this point.
Yeah. I think the reading room is hard. That's where going back to your piece of connecting with others, like if you are thinking about leaving or if you are thinking about maybe speaking up, it might be worth having a conversation to see how someone else might approach it. Now, I'm not saying to not do it, but I am saying to give yourself a pause to make sure that you've thought it through, or maybe that this is probably more for better to myself, that you're not making a decision out of your emotions.
Right.
Like, I am an emotional person. And so it's often easy to be that person. But I love, just that reminder that we have to be able to connect with others, but you also have to know what you're wanting. Because I can argue for things that sometimes they don't really matter.
Right.
I don't care what that looks like. And I think it's that ego that gets in the way. When you see your clients going through this and like living their life in alignment with the person that I want to be, because it feels like our conversation is more in that broader sense of like the individual, how do you help them stay the course? Because I might still understand what is important to me, but resilience is truly that next big challenge. Because what if I don't get the promotion? What if I don't get the next job? What if how things were in my head really didn't come up? Like, what does resilience look like for you and how you help your clients navigate that challenge?
Well, I think there's a lot in there. I think the first thing is to really first, you know, you get your foundation, your values, then you get your direction. Like, what is it that's really important to you? Where do you want to go? But the journey there could be varied and take some funny turns. And, you know, like, you might want a job and you might not get it. And so, but the thing about it is it's a long game. It's not a short game. So that job that you may or may not have gotten is only a step to where you're headed. So if you didn't get it, so what, really? I mean, it's disappointing, but there is other ways to get there, and they usually end up to be the better way.
Yeah.
So if you have the long game in mind, those disappointments along the way aren't so devastating, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I'm thinking to myself, because through every situation for myself that didn't work out in life, not getting that next promotion that I so desperately wanted in a different field and career path didn't work out. It was devastating. And that was not my plan at 28 to deviate and do that. And, you know, at 30, when I did deviate, I'm so grateful that it never worked out. Oh my gosh, I invested 8 years of my time in a profession that today is also so incredibly challenging just based on the retail environment. I worked for a retailer. It's not an easy industry to be in. And I'm so grateful that things didn't work out the way that I had them planned, but doesn't mean that I don't still have challenges today. And I feel like even watching those rejections, like, they still are there, even though they hurt. Like, they all are those blessings that I'm just grateful to have, even though I don't realize it in the moment.
Right. I think of it in a way, I know this sounds kind of silly, but I think it in a way, it's kind of the universe kind of putting like bumpers on us to say like, well, nope, not exactly that way. Let's go this way. You know, that kind of thing. And it's resilience. To keep going, to say like, well, what's next? Because there's other things out there. The other thing about resilience, and I know this is really basic, but we need to be taking better care of ourselves. We need to be eating, sleeping, exercising, reducing stress.
Yes.
It's rampant today that people are burned out and tired and cranky. And you cannot show up the way you want to if you are not feeling physically and mentally and spiritually and emotionally well.
Yeah. I don't know whether people realize that. You know, I think I don't, and then by nature of what I do, like, I talk about burnout and resilience a lot with organizations. And I think, like, I get it from everyone from nurses, which I think that's a very obvious grouping. Yes. That is experiencing burnout. Healthcare is really being challenged with that right now. But all the way down to, I'm talking to a group of conservationists that work on protecting our lands, which someone from the outside might look at that and say, but I'm curious, like, is that every industry, every single industry I'm noticing is experiencing burnout in some way? Like, people are tired. People are not operating from their best, most rational capacities, likely myself included, even though I'm doing a lot. I'm getting sleep in there all the time.
That's good. It's true, which kind of comes back to the showing up as the leader that you want to be, how you envision. This is part of it. You have to take care of yourself. Being a leader, I think I get a little bit like my emotional temperature goes up on this, because leaders affect a lot of people around them just by how they show up. And it's our responsibility to do the best we can. We're not perfect people, but to do the best we can and taking care of ourselves and knowing our values and showing up positive has a huge impact on the world. And I don't know why we don't do it, but we don't.
No. Well, and I think you talked about a really important word of like responsibility. I think it's, you know, everyone being a leader, whether you have direct reports or not, we all have, just by adhering to, you know, a work environment where we're working as a team, I think we all have to step into the responsibility that we owe it to ourselves to take care of us so we are kinder to our colleague. Because it's not like, I don't think when you send that passive aggressive email that what you're really trying to say is, I hope you have a terrible night and you spend hours thinking about this, bye. Like, yeah. I don't think that's what we mean, but that is ultimately what we're saying.
And yes.
Doing that. Like, and no one wants to do that. I know they don't. I know the human heart and spirit. No one wants to be like, have a miserable night.
Yeah.
That's it's not true. All we are. Like, sorry. I know that's a more extreme one. I think I want to round it up by talking about, because I know we have to wrap, like the importance of trust. Because I think from my perspective, if we're living in our life alignment, there is how I see it, and I'm curious if you see it that way, there has to be a tremendous amount of trust that we have, that I trust myself that no matter what happens, I will figure it out.
Yeah.
Like that's, I mean, I'm curious of how you help people develop that like self-trust, like, or what insights or even closing thoughts you would want to say, because if I'm wrapping up our conversation today of being that person that we want to be, like that self-trust and that self-confidence is part of that foundation that you were talking about of knowing what you're there, but it's really saying, do you trust yourself that when stuff does not go right, that you will still move through? How right. much do you trust yourself?
It's, well, mostly that's about remembering.
Yeah.
Because most people, they're here. They've made it. They have made it through challenges and they've figured it out. If they've done it once, twice, a dozen times, hundreds of times, they'll do it again. But they forget.
Yeah.
That they've done it. So it's, yeah.
You can do hard things. You have done hard things to our listeners. Susan, I've really enjoyed our conversation and I know that went by so fast. I'm curious, what would be any final thoughts you would want to share with our audience, if any, as it relates to, you know, wrapping up this conversation?
Well, I wish all the leaders out there, and like you said before, we're all leaders. To somewhere, to some people, it could be our family, it could be our community, it could be our friend group, it could be at work. And we do have responsibility to show up the best that we can. And we can continually improve on that. And I think the world would be a better place if we did do this, right? So this is my little way of helping the world become a better place, is to support leaders become better and more excellent at what they do. So it, and people can find out more about what Seasons Leadership does at our website at www.seasonsleadership.com. And we have a podcast, the Seasons Leadership Podcast, on Spotify and Apple. And you can also find it through the website. And we have a Patreon site. You can get on there and do a subscription to get some more leadership insights and tools. And there's also free stuff on there too. So, and that is www.patreon.com.
All right. /Seasons Leadership. Susan Ireland, thank you so much for coming on the Leadership Habit Podcast. Thank you for just having this beautiful conversation that is important for all of us to have, to bring to the forefront of our conscious mind. I really appreciate you stopping by the Leadership Habit. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Leadership Habit Podcast. I hope that you enjoyed our conversation all about how you can be the leader that you want to be. Leadership is hard, and you're not always going to hit it out of the park. but you can still be the leader that you have in your head, flaws and all. So I hope that you go out and you take a few different actions to be that person, to reach your full leadership potential. And if we at Crescom can help you in that journey, we would love the opportunity. You can head over to our website, crescom.com, and there you can request a leadership skills workshop, which is an interactive experience, all designed to give you, your team, the tools that you need to thrive. You can also find out more about our 24 different unique leadership classes that we offer. We are committed to your success. So head on over to crescom.com to find more. And finally, if you know someone that could benefit from this message, share this episode with them. Spread the love. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.